Wakey, wakey, rise and shine. It's the Asian Star 101.6 FM Breakfast Show.
8 minutes past 9 o'clock. Good morning. It's Monday morning, 13th of February, 2017. We are joined by Superintendent Gavin Wong, who has come in out the cold. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Are you well?
I'm very well, as you say.
Apart from being cold.
Apart from a little bit cold, yes.
Apart from being a bit cold. Firstly, we start with some congratulations, because the area of Slough has received a recent commendation, haven't they, from the police Foundation?
Yes. Not so much commendation, but I guess some acknowledgement of our neighbourhood policing. So the Police Foundation are an organisation that came into Slough over the last 4 or 5 years and worked with the police, but they've also been working in other towns and cities, and they've just put a report out recognising our neighbourhood policing and putting up as a benchmark for the way we should actually police in our communities.
So there we are. Congratulations to all at the Thames Valley Police here in Slough. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Of course, yourself as well, as the boss.
Yeah, thank you, yes.
We're here today to talk about cybercrime. Now, there's many different things, obviously, involved in this, and also wrapped up in that, I guess, is keeping yourself safe online, especially as more and more children have more and more access to the internet. I mean, this is simple things, isn't it? Like, if we look at protecting your computer by keeping virus software up to date and firewalls and things like that, we can then go further into depth into what you share and things. Cybercrime is something which is constantly evolving, I guess, and constantly challenging the police to match the evolvement of the criminals.
Yes, I think the issue, I guess, with cybercrime is that it's all predicated around the internet and internet access, and while internet access has been brilliant for society over the last few years, and you know, to do shopping and to learn about things, it's been excellent, but the danger is that it's so accessible that, you know, there's a lot of crime committed as a consequence of that. But the reality is that most of all these crimes and most of all the harm caused by this is preventable
by taking sensible precautions. The thing is, what we can do in this hour is we can outline those sensible precautions, because whilst they may seem sensible to you and I, if you are a younger child, and I'm not saying younger children are stupid, but if you are a child who's just been given your first phone, maybe you don't understand the risk that you carry in your hand.
That's correct. And I think and it's not really about being unaware. This is new to everybody, and we're all evolving, and that's why criminals are taking the opportunity to use it as it evolves, and we just got to understand it better, and I think we've got to stop comparing it to how we used to do things. It's a very different way of doing things. You can access the whole world within a few clicks, and we've got to change our mindsets, but certainly around prevention is a key thing here in terms of making us all safer.
Now, in terms of, you know, like if you've got your PC at home, you know, the police would recommend, wouldn't they, keeping your firewall on, keeping your antivirus and spyware up to date, because there is a lot of crime where people click on links in emails pretending to be from banks, building societies, things like that. People click the link, all of a sudden criminals have access to their passwords, to all of their bank accounts, and they are cleaned out.
That's correct. Now, and this is the issue with this, is that it's really complex, and I don't understand it all in terms of some of the terminology. But in essence, if you've got a computer, you should have some sort of antivirus software, and that would include firewalls as well.
And now, there are free versions of this and paid versions as well. You should at least have something, even if it's the free version.
Yes. Now, some of the operating systems like Microsoft have their built-in systems. But really, the more protection you can afford is probably the better in terms of the message. There's two key things to remember. One is that you access the internet through two main things. One is through emails. So people are also accessing you. And also through the websites that you visit. And both of those are potential risks for you to be hacked or infected with viruses and those sort of things. So those are things where you need this software to help protect you from people trying to access your computer and all your data. And the data is one of the key things, because a lot of people now do internet banking. They have passwords on there. They have phone numbers. Details from credit cards and that sort of thing, and if people can access that, they can also use your
speaking
details.
Speaking of passwords, another recommendation, of course, would be not to use the same password across everything. So don't have the same password for your bank account, for Facebook, for Twitter, use different passwords.
Yes, and I do get it. It's incredibly complicated because, you know, remembering one password is hard enough, let alone remembering all different ones. Mm. But actually, if you want to be safe and you want to engage with the internet, then actually that's something you're going to have to do.
Yeah, because, you know, if your Facebook gets hacked and people know that password, that doesn't mean they can get into your banking if you have a separate password.
So that's
correct. Very essential that you should use separate passwords for separate things to keep yourself safe online. Obviously, the police will be there to assist you if you are a victim of some form of cybercrime like this. But the initial recommendation would be to get yourself protected and make yourself as safe as possible.
Yes, yes.
Also, if you do have antivirus software, keep it up to date. Same with firewalls. Make sure you keep them up to date because criminals constantly evolve the tactics they use in viruses and in Trojans and things like that. Keep your software up to date. If there is an update that comes, don't just think, oh, I won't do it. Do it, because you can guarantee the criminals will be keeping themselves up to date.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, actually, because, you know, for all the importance and benefits of having antivirus software or firewalls, actually, what you don't want to do is put 100% trust into those products. Because actually, there are things that you need to do also, just to be cautious. So, you know, some emails may get through the firewall. It may look like it's come from a bank.
Yeah.
But actually, there's certain things we know that banks will never ask you for.
Mm.
You know, you'll get emails asking you about that you've won this, that, and the other. You know, if it is too good to be true, then it's just too good.
The important thing here is if you get an email which pretends to be from your bank, from the Inland Revenue, the HMRC, from anyone, go to their website that you know and trust and look there rather than clicking a link, because it is easy to create an email which appears to be from your bank, from HMRC or anything like that, that says, you know, oh, congratulations, you've got, or we're trying to contact you about this amount. Go to your bank's website that you know and trust. Go to the HMRC website that you know and trust. Look on there. If there is an alert for you, it will be shown there. If there isn't, that email should be deleted straight away.
Absolutely. And actually, go to the internet sites or just ring the bank yourself. If it's a bank inquiry, just ring them directly. Make sure you've got the right number. And they will tell you if that's a proper phone call or not. But banks will not ask for your credit card details, your PIN numbers, or all those sort of things, because they know them.
Yeah. The thing with the bank is they will have authentication questions that you will be asked, but they will not ask you for PIN numbers and credit cards and things like that.
That's correct.
You will also not be asked for those online. If you are asked for those online or on any telephone call, end the call, because it's not
a
correct call.
Yeah, and the thing, the way these people work is it's work on numbers. The thing with the internet, you can access so many people so quickly and so widely that all they have to do is ping these emails out to a load of people, and if they get 1% of people replying or falling for the trick, then they're going to make money out of it.
We've all had them, the emails that come from, you know, your long lost cousin who lives on a different continent, who happens to, you know, be wanting to give you £1 million if you click on a link.
Yeah.
We've all had them, and whilst it may be a sense of you know, amusement to many people, somebody is going to click on those.
Yeah, and the problem is that the people that click tend to be the more vulnerable people. And that's one of the worst things of these crimes. It tends to be the vulnerable people that really, really get caught out.
Yeah. Again, obviously, like, these are coming in emails and things like that, and sometimes by text message now as well, like, things have moved on to text message.
Yes, yeah.
If you get an email like that, probably best to ignore it, and as we say, ring the bank or go to their website. Again, if you're on the internet and you see a pop-up come up that, you know, from Microsoft or Google Chrome or whoever saying that a site is unsafe, leave that site.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what will be built into, I think you know more about this software than I do actually, Mark, but I mean, that will be built into the software.
Yeah.
That you have these pop-ups come up saying this site isn't trusted, you know, actually. If you've got a software saying that, then trust that.
Phishing. P-H-I-S-I-N-G, as opposed to actually sitting on a riverbank. Phishing is what it's called, where it looks for you to allow them information by pretending to be someone else. So if you do get a pop-up that comes up and said, now certainly Google Chrome I know has phishing filters in it, if a site looks to be unsafe, leave that site. Even if it's something you're interested in, leave that site. Find another site that has that information, because the more you can do to protect yourself, the safer you will be. You'll never be 100% safe, because life isn't 100% safe no matter what you do, but just take care and keep yourself as safe as possible while you're out there. Now, we will move on because obviously with social media and things like that, it's important that people should know who and what they can share with and things like that. So we will move on to that as well. But just quickly, in terms of keeping yourself safe online, if you feel you have been a victim maybe of a crime where your information has been taken via the internet, via email or via a browser, what would people do in the first instance?
So if you think you've been a victim of fraud in particular, then the first thing to do would be report that to an organisation called Action Fraud.
Yep.
And I should have brought the number with me, but actually you can just put Action Fraud into the internet, and that's how you can report fraud. And then what they will do, they collate all that information, and then if there's opportunities to for an investigation, that we pass to the police to investigate.
Yeah.
Why they're important is that because they're a central point to collect all this information, they can start picking out trends and potential offenders, which helps us then to identify what's happening, and also the way that people are doing things, the types of crimes that are being committed.
The other thing to consider as well is if you are, now you did mention earlier, Gavin, about online shopping. If you are doing online shopping, make sure it's a reputable site, make sure it's a secure site as well. You are handing over your credit card information. Once you've handed it over and you've handed over the long number and the short verification code, if that's gone to a secure site, then you are pretty safe on that. If it's gone to a non-secure site, somebody has harvested that information and you can guarantee that they will then be emptying your credit card up to your limit with the information that they've harvested from you.
Yeah, there's always that possibility, and that's a really good point that, you know, just we do so much online now in terms of shopping, and we, you know, and because we get so familiar with it, we end up starting on going on to new websites. Well, actually, we've got to be very careful that actually these are valid websites and they're ones that we can trust.
One other thing I will say on that as well, a lot of apps now allow you one-click shopping where they store your credit card information for you, which is very handy. If you're going to do that and carry that around on your phone, make sure your phone is adequately protected with a PIN code lock and a fingerprint lock, as much as possible security on your phone, because people are also, you know, Apple Pay and Android Pay, people are carrying around your information and could be spending your money if your phone is stolen. So if your phone is stolen, remember, on there potentially is your banking details, also your credit card information. Make sure that your phone is properly protected. In the event it is stolen, you do not want people to be accessing that information as well.
That's correct. And things like, and you mentioned Google Chrome, and on all these web search engines do the same things where they will recognize passwords for you. Well, actually, do you want them to do that?
I don't. I have on my PC at home, and it's also on my mobile, I have a password keeper, which is protected by a password and then encrypted. I do not ever store my passwords in the browser.
And, you know, and this is the decision people need to make. But, you see, it's about trust. And I think, you know, it's a personal view, but I think people are just a little bit too trusting of the internet. And actually, I know it's easy to have your password stored, but then, as you say, if your phone's stolen and someone can go in your phone because you haven't protected your phone, and they go onto a website and your password comes up straight away, then you're vulnerable, aren't you?
One of the other things you can do, just finally, we're going to check the travel in a moment. One of the other things you can do with passwords is there are reputable password managers that will generate for you. They're like massive 32 character passwords, a combination of digits and numbers. You'll never ever remember this password, so there's no chance that you will ever be hacked by remembering it, but they will actually put it in for you. So all you need to do is keep this password keeper protected by a safe password, and that will then keep the rest of your passwords safe, because there'll be passwords no one will ever get. That's another important thing, isn't it? In terms of passwords, you know, if you were just to sit there and think, oh, I'll just make my password Gavin, people will probably guess that, won't they?
Exactly. And also people...
Gavin 1, Gavin 2, Gavin 3.
Exactly. And that's really important, because people... and also what happens is the criminals kind of can second guess what your passwords will be. So it will be a variation of your name, plus a number, plus maybe a capital, because you've got to put those in nowadays. I'm not familiar with the apps you're talking about, but the password creators. But actually, I know there are reputable ones, and actually it is a very effective way of doing that.
Yeah. All right, we will talk with Gavin more in a moment. Time to keep you up to date on the travel news.
The latest news, information, weather and traffic and travel on the Asian Star 101.6 FM Breakfast Show.
9:28, Monday morning. We're talking about cybercrime with Superintendent Gavin Wong. We've mentioned how you can keep yourself safe on your internet emails and all that sort of stuff, and in the browser as well. If we move on now to social media, this is something which has really, really taken off in the last 10, 15 years, hasn't it? I mean, if you go back 15 years ago, kind of 10, 15 years ago, you just had like basically MySpace, didn't you? Since then, you've had this huge explosion in popularity of Facebook. People share a lot of things on there, and perhaps they're not always aware of the consequences of what they're sharing or who they're sharing them with. That's very important.
Yes. I mean, social media is a really interesting concept. I think it does link back to what we've just mentioned in terms about computers, because a lot of social media now is done via phones. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes for the older parents like myself who've got young children, what you've got to remember is that when we give our children phones, we're not giving them phones, we're giving them mini computers.
Yeah.
Which have all the facilities of a computer.
Yeah.
And it's all about that access to internet. So the thing with social media is that you can access lots of people very quickly, very easily. And I think people don't think about it or think about the consequences of being able to do that.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I don't know what your view or the police view on this is. If you set up a Facebook account, and quite often during their updates of terms and conditions, your privacy is left wide open, which basically makes everything you put up there, pictures, phone numbers, addresses, makes it public. A lot of people will just go on there, think, yeah, I want to get on Facebook, set it up. All of a sudden, you are sharing your innermost details with the world.
Yes. So I suppose there's no police stance on this in terms of how public you make your account. Mm. But the fact is, the more people that you have, the more people that have access to your account, the more risk you are at.
Do you not think perhaps it'd make more sense? And I know why Facebook are doing it, because they're encouraging people to network. But do you not think it'd make more sense to do it the other way and make it very private? And you can sit there and think, okay, I'd like to share this, this, and this with these people, rather than by default, your information is shared with everyone rather than just friends.
Yeah, it's a very difficult one to answer. I think, I think a lot of this is about mindset, and society is very precious around access to the internet and data protection and personal data. I'll give an example. If you go back, I think it was last year, where there was a terrorist in the United States. I think they died. They did die, actually. Mm. But they had an iPhone.
Yeah.
And they had some they wanted to access the iPhone to see what they'd been up to. Mm. And it went to Apple, and it went to court to try and access his phone.
Yeah.
Now, my question would be, had that all that detail, all those details been in a book or a diary, would people have been so concerned about it?
Yeah.
And the fact is, because it's through the internet and we think it's meant to be safe, then there's a very different mindset to it. So I think, I probably can't answer the question about whether they should do it the way round. My personal view is I think they should do. But I think it's about people understanding that this is a very different scenario than just keeping data safe in a book. It's about everybody can have access to it.
I mean, equally, if you go back to the riots that were a few years ago, that was openly attributed to BlackBerry Messenger at the time, wasn't it? Whether fairly or unfairly. Again, had that just been written down, you know, and people had rung each other up, that would have been looked at slightly differently, wouldn't it?
Yes. I wouldn't blame BlackBerry Messenger for it. But the point was that this is the impact of social media. And where it was that the message got out very quickly to people, to a lot of people very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And that was the issue around social media, is that the power and maybe the danger in social media is that the speed which you can access so many people.
Yeah. Now, I mean, this may seem a silly thing, but if I am going on holiday and I say to you, right, Gavin, I'm off on holiday, I've told someone that I know and I trust.
Mm.
If you put this on Facebook and you also have your address on there and you have not tightened your privacy settings, you have possibly just told a burglar that your house will be left unattended for 2 weeks from Monday.
Right. I know, and it sounds obvious, but it's... And you don't even need to put your address on there. People may know you in the local village or town where you live.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the things which I find frustrating about social media, is that people don't invest enough time in their privacy settings. You know, and you can go on to many people's accounts and access all their photographs, where they've been, what they're doing, who they're talking to, and people just don't seem to think that this is an issue. But clearly, it's putting them at a huge amount of risk.
See, I mean, my personal view, I have an 18-month-old son. I do share pictures on there, and because of that, my privacy is set very tight on Facebook. But again, as you say, if you are sharing perhaps the fact that you're off on holiday, if I know this is a horrible thing to say, if you are sharing pictures of young children, think who may possibly be getting hold of these pictures. That's a horrible way to look at things, but it is, sadly, you know, something that we have to think about in this day and age.
Well, we do, and I think what's key, and I kind of mentioned it earlier on, is about trust. And the problem is that people tend to trust websites, they tend to trust people on social media, lots of things which are causing issues. And if we trusted people less, I know it sounds a terrible thing to do because you're human, you know, you want to be able to trust people, but actually, you can't trust everybody. And when you've got, you know, we mentioned earlier before we started, someone having 2,000 friends on Facebook, well, clearly they don't know 2,000 people. They're putting information out to these people. They can't trust those people.
See, if we were walking down the street and we were going on holiday, I wouldn't hand my house keys out to a random stranger on the street and say, this is where I live and I'll be away for 2 weeks.
No, no.
Which is, I mean, all right, you're not handing your house keys out, but you're giving out potentially the fact that, you know, I am away on holiday, and although you haven't got my house keys, you'll be able to break in because no one will detect it for 2 weeks. By which time, all of the contents of your house will be long gone, and there won't be that much that the police can actually do, because possibly somebody broke into your house the day you went away, and it's been maybe 2 or 3 weeks since then. So the likelihood of actually recovering your stuff is very low. And sadly, whilst you didn't steal it, you perhaps allowed it to happen.
Yes, I mean, it's right, and I think that that analogy of drawing you know, sort of walking down the street is quite a good one for me. A lot of this kind of stuff is that, would you just give any information out to anybody you come across in the street? And the answer is, you're not going to do that. So why would you do that online? And people don't seem to make that distinction. And the other thing is that, and linked to that, is about, it's not always about being victims online or part of social media. A lot of people inadvertently committing offences online.
We will come to that, actually. Just while we're talking about keeping yourself safe online, one thing which I think we should touch on is children. Facebook terms and conditions are 13, which is still very young, obviously, to be online. A lot of children younger than that do have phones. They maybe have WhatsApp or other messaging applications. If you meet someone in person, you can see who they are. Online, you can say whatever you want. So, you know, if you are a younger person online, or if you are a parent responsible, you must instill a, not a sense of fear, but a sense of wariness, I think, into children, to perhaps not automatically trust someone that says that they are a 10-year-old boy or girl. They may not be that 10-year-old boy or that 10-year-old girl. They may gain your trust through apparently being that person, ask to meet, and then you're into a world of trouble.
Yes, and again, it's around that trust. Even if they provide a photograph, you don't know it's a photograph of the person you're speaking to. And this is where I do understand it gets difficult for parents, because very often some of the our kids know more about this stuff than we do. And this is where it's quite difficult. But ultimately, if you've got the younger children, then you know, you do have a responsibility to know what they're going on to, what sort of things they're looking at, who they're talking to. And you do have to be proactive in that and actually set some guidance around what they can and can't do. You know, and the fact that because their friends are doing it doesn't mean that you have to allow your own children to do that.
The other important thing is, I mean, this is not just, we're not just talking about sat on your PC, we're not just talking about on your phone, we're also talking about games consoles as well. These are now online. And yes, it's fun to play games with your friends, but, you know, you may then be tricked into sharing information that perhaps you shouldn't have shared with people you are playing these games against online.
Yeah, exactly. And there, and even there's game consoles, you can access the internet, but even within phones, you've got apps as well. So it's things like simple games. Obviously, there's more than one game out there, but Minecraft, which is a quite an educational game for and creative game for children, but that can access the internet and access other players, and then you can talk within that. So actually, what are they talking about and who are they talking to? Those are things you've got to be aware of.
You're a parent, I'm a parent. Do you think perhaps it was easier for us growing up and easier for us, for our parents watching us grow up than it is now? Because when we were young, you kind of met your friends at school, didn't you? And you had a much smaller social circle because you met your friends at school and then you became friends with their friends. Whereas now, you can put yourself out there online and you can meet all sorts of people from all sorts of different walks of lives. And as a young person, you know, we mentioned this off air, having a huge friend count on Facebook may in fact be appealing for you, but alternatively, these aren't your friends.
Yes. Is it harder or more different? I'm not really sure. I think it is probably harder for a parent, actually, because you've got more things to safeguard your children against. And because it's so easy for them to access other people and access material you don't want them to access, it's really, really difficult. So I think I probably do agree personally that it is harder for parents. I think there's a caveat sometimes when we look back and, you know, in my day, you could leave your car unlocked outside your front door and all that kind of stuff. Well, things are different. We have to accept that as well. But certainly I think there is more risk to our children now because of the internet than there used to be.
Certainly I remember as a child, you know, my parents would say to me, "Oh, where are you going?" "Out, and I'll be back later."
Yes.
You know, I wouldn't accept that from my son in this day and age, but
things have changed.
The one thing I will say, now we will get to cybercrime after the travel, the one thing finally I will say, in terms of keeping yourself safe online with your social media, your gaming consoles, your internet, your emails and all that sort of stuff, is criminals will be investigating any way they can to attack you, to defraud you, whatever, via online, social media, internet, emails. They will be investing their time in trying to find ways to get to you. Invest some time in keeping yourself safe out there. As we've said, think who you're sharing information with. Keep your internet antivirus up to date. Keep your firewall up to date. Take whatever steps you can to keep yourself safe.
And I totally agree with that. And one thing I just add is that what people tend to do is they think about their computer, and they will put antivirus and firewalls on that. They forget about their mobile phones. If a mobile phone is a computer, at the end of the day, you need to protect it in the same way. And very often, the packages that you buy or the products you can buy to safeguard your computer will often allow you to use the same safety for your mobile phones and your tablets and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, we will talk cybercrime, how it could be that you're going to fall foul of the law. We'll do that after we catch up with the latest travel.
The latest news, information, weather and traffic and travel on the Asian Star 101.6 FM Breakfast Show.
Asian Star 101.6 FM, 9:45. We are with you for another 15 minutes. Kieran will be on the radio at 10 this morning, and we're with Superintendent Gavin Wong from Thames Valley Police. We're talking about cyber crime, cyber safety and all that sort of stuff. We have mentioned how you can keep yourself safe online, which is very, very important. What we should also mention, though, Gavin, is that whilst you do have the ability to communicate nice things with all your friends, you also have the ability to get yourself in a lot of trouble.
Yes. And so if we talk about,
and it's easy to do without thinking, that's the thing.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Now this is, we kind of mentioned earlier about your mindset, and you had the analogy of walking down the street, and social media is it's a wonderful thing if you like that sort of thing, but it's very easy to say things without thinking about it and the consequences. And what I mean by that is, you know, you see it very often in the paper, on the news, that people, trolling.
Yeah.
Okay. So people seem, for some reason, to think that, or some people seem to think it's fine to abuse people, to send abusive emails and comments on social media and think that it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's not okay. One, that you are potentially committing criminal offences, which can be reported to the police, and we will deal with that. But I think if you think about it, and I really like your analogy of walking down the street. If you're walking down the street or you saw one of these famous people, for example, if you wouldn't say it to their face, then you shouldn't be putting it on social media.
That's the thing. I mean, some famous people are divisive. You either like them or you hate them. But as you say, you wouldn't walk up to them in the street and say, "I'm going to punch you if I see you in a dark alley."
That's right.
You wouldn't say that. And yet some people will post it online. "Oh, I'd love to give them a kicking."
Yeah, yeah.
You've posted that online. You have committed a crime, haven't you?
Yes, that's correct. And it's not just famous people. It's people at school. And this is where, you know, it's very easy to start bullying people because people seem to think that social media is a good way of doing that. Well, actually, not only are they committing offences potentially, but actually, you know, the effect of being bullied is significant, you know, and but it's just being made more easy through the use of social media.
Now, I mean, that is one very important thing, as you say, the effect of bullying. You know, you can mess around and joke, and that's fine, but the effect of bullying someone can possibly last for their whole life. This can put people into depression. Some people have been known to take their own lives because of bullying. And unfortunately, whilst there are many, many good things the internet can do as well, like, you know, do your shopping and all that sort of stuff, it can also make the committing of crimes easier, can't it? Because if you can just send someone a text message and start bullying them, or create a WhatsApp group to bully one member of it, etc., etc., this makes that actual offence committing much, much easier, doesn't it? Which is an unfortunate, sad thing.
It's really sad, and you know, I think particularly this week when it's half term for many schools, and particularly younger people, the propensity to be victims of this sort of crime is more so now than ever, and as you say, the effects can be quite catastrophic. So people just need to think a little bit more about what are they putting on, what are they putting on these sites, and what the implications could be.
I mean, we do see, don't we, and obviously it's not reported in the papers and in the media if it happens, but we do see famous people who withdraw from social media because of the abuse and the trolling that they get.
Yeah, and I think again, some people. I suppose if you put yourself up, you know, in your celebrity, and you put yourself up for that, I mean, some people think that that's okay to be abused, but it's not okay to be abused, you know. And the fact that they actually take themselves off these sites, even albeit temporarily, just goes to show the impact that this sort of thing can have on people.
There have been, haven't there? There have now been prosecutions, successful prosecutions, where the police have investigated online crime via social networking, and people actually have faced the consequences for this. So there is proof out there now that you cannot just say and do what you want on social media, because you will be held accountable. That's something I think a lot of people don't think, you know, the same as we were mentioning earlier, you know, like, here's my address and I'm going on holiday. You don't think perhaps of the consequences, the same as posting a vile, offensive tweet directed at someone, or sending a vile, offensive text or an email. You will be held accountable for those actions.
Yes, and this cuts across many different areas. We've mentioned bullying, but it happens in cases of harassment. It happens in cases of domestic abuse, where perpetrators will continually contact their victims using social media. You know, it doesn't matter how you contact people. If you're doing it in the wrong way, if you send the wrong things, it's wrong. So whether that's face to face or through a computer or through a social media app, you know, you can get into trouble by doing that.
It's I mean, it's a minefield, isn't it? Like, the way we use the internet changes every day. You know, new social networks pop up, new apps pop up that make it easier to access each other. What sort of a challenge does this pose to the police in actually getting on top of it, understanding it all, and policing it?
Well, I think it is a challenge, and I can't say it would be wrong of me to say that we're on top of it, if I'm being honest. I think it's evolving so quickly, and the quantity is so vast, that we are having to look at a completely different way of how we address this type of crime.
I think we're all learning, though, aren't we? We're all learning how the internet can benefit us. Some people are sadly learning how the internet can enable them to commit crime, but as you say, you know, the police are learning and evolving how they deal with it.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting, really, because I have a local community group, and at the last one, I invited some young people from AXARF, which is a local youth group, and the Youth Parliament to come and give us an input into social media, actually, and how younger people use it and the sort of things that we need to be aware of. But we are, you know, we are better at dealing with cybercrime. We have got some ways to catch up, I think. But certainly there's numerous prosecutions on you know, daily basis, which are linked to cybercrime.
In terms of cybercrime and cyber safety, I think the concluding message really is think and keep yourself, you know, safe online. Think about the you know, what you're sharing, whether it's good or whether it's bad. You know, think about what people have invited you to do. The important thing is think about the consequences, isn't it? You know, whether you are about to post something that's going to get you in trouble because it's criminal, whether you're about to share your address and the fact you're on holiday with 2,000 people, you know, whether you are about to contact someone that you don't know who they are, the important message is think.
Yeah, so there's a few things there. One is that you can prevent very simply, or fairly simply, being a victim of any crime on cybercrime by firstly having the right software, but also just, you know, some of the things that you do. But that's all linked to second thing, which is around trust. And this is the biggest point for me around any of the cybercrime and elements is really is that you are potentially sharing with the whole world.
Yeah.
So anything you post in action, and just in terms of posting things, when you put things on Facebook and those sort of things, I think I'm right, and you might have to correct me, so just a little bit of a caveat here, is that you don't own those photographs anymore. I think they're the property of Facebook and that type of thing. So just, I've got to be cautious about what I say about that. The point I'm trying to make is that your pictures or your comments could end up anywhere. Mm. You cannot control, once you've pressed that button, where that's going to end up.
And the other thing to consider as well is, if you do post a status on Facebook, if you do post a tweet or anything like that, or a photo on Instagram, even if you later go back and think, oh, I messed up, I'm going to delete that, somebody may have already screenshot it, and once it's out there, it is out there forever. I mean, this is another important thing, isn't it? In terms of, if we think about adults perhaps sharing things that are adult as well, another important thing is to think, in 5 years' time, will you regret sharing that? Because as we say, when it's out there, it is out there.
Yeah, no, and there are people that have paid the consequence of those sort of things, and this is what I'm, you know, hopefully getting across today, is that you know, you've got to trust less. I know it's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah,
you know, you want to be able to trust people in society, but actually, the internet, the fact that it can go to viral so quickly, is that you have no control over what's going to happen to those comments, those photographs that you put out.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I look back at some former profile pictures and think, oh, why did I ever post that? But, you know, that's just like a personal sense of embarrassment.
Yeah.
If you've maybe shared something that is, you know, a little bit adult, a little bit risque or something like that, or perhaps, you know, you've shared a status or something, it's out there forever. Well, somebody will have screenshot it, somebody will have saved it, somebody will have downloaded it. Whatever you put out there, you know, it's out there forever. It's like, if I was to say something to you, you'll not unhear it. It's said. The same way, if you post something on a social network, it's out there, because somebody will have seen it, copied it, whatever, it's done.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, and very often people, you know, may have a little bit too much alcohol. They may put something on their phone because, you know, they can, you know, an off-the-cuff remark. Something which they would never, ever say if they were sober. And actually, if you just said it in a pub, you know, it might pass. But actually, it's recorded now.
Mm.
It is somewhere.
That's the context, you know, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, yeah. So this is the thing. Whatever you say is recorded, potentially, and it's always there.
Yeah. Whether, you know, whether it's bullying, whether it's cybercrime, it is there, and that's it. It's there forever. So, I mean, the important thing here is, in terms of cyber safety and cybercrime, as Gavin has said, a lot of it is preventable by your own actions, by keeping your phone and your PC safe and protected, by thinking carefully about what you share with who. If you see an email come in that pretends to be offering you £1 million, it really won't be. So don't click on any of those links. Don't open the files either. The other thing to be careful of, by the way, just going back to emails, if you see a file that is perhaps like .jpeg.zip, it is a zip file. It's got a virus in it. It's not actually a JPEG. It's a zip. So that's another area where criminals are, of course, being careful. You know, think carefully. And as you say, if you do feel that perhaps you have been the victim of a cybercrime, report it. It will get investigated, just the same as if you're a victim of any other crime. It will get investigated. If you believe that you have been a victim of fraud, contact Action Fraud, and they can then investigate your report, and if necessary, pass it to the police for further investigation.
Correct. Yeah. And I think, you know, I suppose one thing I do want to do is, you know, completely scare people off the internet. It is a wonderful thing. You know, there's so many good things about the internet. but we need to do it sensibly.
We're not talking about fear here. We're just talking about thoughts of who you trust. Rather than spreading fear, the only message we'd like to come out from today, I think, Gavin, is that you should be very careful of who you trust online.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good summary, actually. It's about, you know, just remember that in practice, whatever you put on the internet is recorded and it can go out to millions and millions of people. And therefore, think about who you're trusting. And it's not just about, you know, first of all, are they the person that you think they are? And secondly, even if they are, how do you know that you can trust them in 2 years' time, 3 years' time, 5 years' time?
Thank you, Gavin. We're all done. Kieran's next. Asian Star, 101.6 FM.